Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me this week is my dad.
Yo, Ted.
Hey, Dad, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great, great. So,
Yeah, so I'm watching this baseball game here, Tampa Bay, Cleveland.
yeah, this one's right now it's the bottom of the fourth. Cleveland's got two on, one out, and they're down by three. Yeah, these one game playoffs, they're, aside from any, there hasn't been any blowouts last year or this
Right.
year, so they've at least been competitive, which is what you want.
It's great drama.
Yeah, baseball is the only one. Now baseball has a single elimination game. It used to just be football, now it's baseball and football.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I mean it's the excitement of it. It's like anything else, you get one shot at it.
Sure.
But
Yeah, because who has time to watch best three, four of?
That can be a lot for a viewer. I have no problem with the playoffs. I just think that they need to get rid of a lot of the off days. I mean, there's going to be at the end of the League Championship Series, there's going to be 3 days before the World Series, and that's just ridiculous. It shouldn't take 3 days for you to start the World Series. I'm just happy it's not. I'm just happy it's not ending in November like it's been the last in previous years. It's been that way, and it's October baseball. It's not November baseball. Keep it within the month.
Well, hockey starts, doesn't it?
Hockey started last night, so hockey's just beginning. The NBA usually starts by Halloween, so that's coming up soon too.
All the sports at once.
All the sports at once. It's a small window, but it happens. But just like the other sports, hockey and basketball, at the beginning of the season, it doesn't really ramp up. You need some time with, I think, those two sports. Like, baseball, everybody gets psyched for spring training.
Playoff.
Yeah, well, the playoffs, but like at the beginning of the season, spring training and opening day, but. Through April and May, it's not on everybody's radar. Wait until like June. And then football, you've got preseason, you've got the first game, and then there's a couple weeks, and then it really starts to ramp up. But I like these one game playoffs, and we had three one game playoffs because the tiebreaker game for the wild card,
True.
which was 2 days ago, and then Pittsburgh and Cincinnati was yesterday, and then the Rays Cleveland right now.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these teams, who come out of the wild card because they've been playing so hard up until the end, they usually have a better advantage than the teams that can coast the last month.
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, if a lot of these managers, you never want your team to take it easy and then all of a sudden have to try and turn it on. If you're going the entire way, if you're going full throttle, if you're not taking a break, you could get tired, you could tire yourself out, but you could also really get your team up for it.
But didn't Cleveland win 10 straight?
They won 10 straight, yeah. Problem is
Can they
that
come back 3-0?
yeah, they can come back 3-0. They didn't come back here. They didn't score a run in that inning, but they won 10 straight, but it was against the dregs. It was against the Twins, it was against the White Sox, so they didn't really.
Moving up in class.
Right, exactly. It's one thing to beat 10, bottom feeders, but can you beat
Right.
one very good team?
He beat tomato cans.
Exactly. I mean, to be honest, the team that, the winner of this game has to face the Red Sox, and I don't think they can beat the Red Sox.
Well, I was hoping that Cleveland could win so that that could happen
Franco.
with the manager.
Oh, how great would that be? Francona going back to Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good, but not this year. Look.
Really?
I don't foresee it. Hey, they could come back and win this. That'd be a great story. Who wouldn't want to see that?
Sure, I want to see that.
But don't forget, Cleveland was not expected to make the playoffs, let
That's
alone
a big surprise.
they
Cinderella.
exactly, they're a big surprise. Whereas Tampa Bay, you expect
Right.
them to compete and make the playoffs. So I think that's why that they'll I think they'll win this game, but I don't think they'll beat Boston. They may go five games, but I don't think they'll beat Boston. So, and as for the A's and the Tigers, I don't know. I'd like to see the Tigers. Because I like Leland and I like Cabrera. I'd like to see them go
But
far.
like some success story out of Detroit.
Yeah. There's got to be at least one, right? And it's good for the city. It's good for that area. But Oakland's very good. But either way, I don't think either of those teams could beat Boston. I didn't think, earlier in the year I didn't think Boston would have it in them, but they've got a very good team. Surprising after last year's debacle.
they dumped some major expense and picked up some, what, average players that had great years?
Very consistent players. Shane Victorino, Mike Napoli, these are, you know, those are just two examples of players who will be consistent. You know what you're going to get out of Victorino. You know what you're going to get out of Napoli. And they got exactly what they were expecting out of them. And, you know, also other talent that they already had. Ellsbury, Pedroia, Ortiz. They knew they could count on those players. But, you know, some of the players they had brought in, just it didn't work out, so they got rid of them. Which is surprising. You would think that kind of raises the white flag for a couple of years. But, no, they went right back to it.
That's what I thought. That was incredible.
That was.
And the Toronto experiment didn't work. It looked good on paper.
It did. Give it another year. After next year, I think if it's the same thing, then you're going to have to definitely give it up.
Now, what kind of change did R.A. Dickey have to go through? How did he end up?
He did okay. I forget his stats. He did average. I think he had like a 4 ERA of some sort.
And Ray Ray?
Oh, he was injured a bunch.
Surprise.
Well, yeah. I think I don't know if it was his hamstring, because he used to have a hamstring injury, but he was injured for a while. There's a lot of talent on that team, but they also had a bunch of injuries. Injuries aren't an excuse, but they should have been better than they are. And that was a weak division, you know, aside from Boston and Tampa. I mean, the Orioles.
What about Baltimore?
Oh, you know, that's true. Baltimore was good, and the Yankees, they underachieved and overachieved at the same time, which is hard to believe.
And all their injuries?
Well, all their injuries.
And drama off the field.
Drama off the field. I mean, just one player going down, and just they were picking up guys off the scrap heaps, and they were actually, you know, producing pretty well here and there, not consistently,
right.
And that was the problem. So I should take that back, that the AL East was stronger, one of the strongest divisions, along with the NL Central. I think the NL Central, aside from, you know, Milwaukee and Chicago, because they had three playoff teams out of the Central.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis, and now Pittsburgh goes on. I really want
St. Louis is a perennial.
Oh, my God. I'm starting to get sick of them.
My whole life.
I know, exactly. I'd like to see Pittsburgh knock off St. Louis. I think they could. When you talk about a team that was, you know, hot going into the playoffs with these wild cards, Pittsburgh could be one of those teams that they, you know, they roll through the division series to the championship series.
Oh, that's the big surprise story. That's the big, underdog. They, you know, that's great. And how about a couple of, Mets, at least one over there for that playoff drive?
Marlon Byrd, I think John... I think John Buck did as well. But that, and
Marlon Buck did, yeah.
And Marlon Byrd did really well with them.
What did the Mets get for those guys?
They got an infielder. I forget his name, but he's supposed to be... He's going to be good. He's like single A, double A. He has a very high ceiling, so he might do really well with them. Believe me, I'd love for them the Mets to actually use whoever they got.
Yeah, it would be nice to see if they made some smart moves, because... You know, Marlon Byrd was a good guy.
Yeah, he was. They're talking about him for comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
So,
plus he added flair and style and looked like he wanted to be there and had some enthusiasm.
And he was a great, underrated fielder. I think he was among the league leaders in outfield assists.
Right.
He was really good. I know
he's fun. Fun player, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's fun to have him. But I like Pittsburgh. I want Pittsburgh to beat St. Louis, and I like the Dodgers to beat Pittsburgh.
Oh, the Dodgers announced this week they're not interested in Cano.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I think that's kind of smart on their behalf. First of all, they spent pretty much all the money in the world, so how much more can they really afford?
Right.
And they're doing, you know, a couple of superstars on that team is good. You don't want a superstar everywhere. You know, it looks good on paper, but how many times has it actually worked out?
Yeah.
So, you know what? And, you know,
do people go to those games?
In L.A.?
Yeah.
They go. They go, but not many stay to the end. They're very famous for beating the traffic.
Right.
A friend of mine who lives out in L.A., he calls the town transient in that there are fewer and fewer people who hail from
LA.
Yeah, from LA. They're from Minnesota, they're from New Jersey, they're from Florida. Right. They're from Utah. You know, so there are very few who go, you know, I'm from L.A. And so a lot of their sports allegiances lie elsewhere around the country. So, and with all that traffic, and with all that traffic in L.A., they want to, you know, get out of the game before the end of the game. So,
well, it's hard to keep people's attention in L.A. to all on the move.
Yeah, exactly. But I think when you, I think a team like this that's supposed to do really well, because I like them to make the World Series, and I know so many others do, because they're hard to beat in a short, first of all, in a short series with Greinke and Kershaw, and then, you know, they just stack up better against everybody else in the National League.
They should be the favorite.
They should be, and they are. They're seated in third place, but they're better than what their record says.
Wow.
And which is a testament to their team, because they were under 500 through the first couple months, and then they...
Yeah, they were talking about the manager's job.
I know. But now, it's like it never happened. You know, ever since the All-Star break, they only lost a handful of games.
That's because winning solves the problems that losing creates.
That is very absolutely true. Which in this case brings us to the NFL. A lot of losing going on in the NFL. That's from some big-name teams, specifically the...
The Giants you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, so start for Atlanta. A lot of traded talent away, injuries.
Yeah. Looking around the league, it's, you know, what you kind
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Oh, who'd have thunk? You know, 0-4. And it's funny because, you know, the Giants and the Steelers are linked through family by the owners.
Right, Rooney.
Rooney, the Rooneys and the Maras.
Yeah, at one time, the Rooney family owned Yonkers Raceway at one time.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so there is a connection, no doubt, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
I often wonder how many seats he owns in MetLife Stadium.
That is true. And these are, you know, those are some of the last remaining old family owners, like the families of owners, as opposed to the more corporate owners of the other teams. So it's kind of surprising to see, because, and they're not the type to really make a change midway through the season. They're the ones who usually play out the string with their coaches.
Oh yeah. The coaches don't have to worry.
Yeah, exactly.
So now the Philadelphia and the Giants play. What do you make of that game at MetLife Stadium?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Denver embarrassed Philly. They're going up to New York. It's interesting because Andy Reid clobbered the Giants last week. So now they're playing against Philly, and this is Chip Kelly. He might not quite understand the rivalry as much as somebody like Andy Reid did, who's there for forever. So I would.
But the Giants are favorite. That kind of, but you know, they are at home.
Yeah.
The Philly experiment's interesting. I mean, people are questioning if this guy's professional enough to be NFL coach.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going away.
No, he's not going away. And you know, it's tough to. You know, because a lot of these college coaches, they come out, but it's a whole new ball game up in the major leagues of American football. So, you know, they might not be ready for it. But I'm gonna say Giants because I think that they're gonna get up for the game,
right?
Because of the rivalry, more so than Eagles will, just because it's a new coaching staff, and you know, I just think that there's gonna be a difference that hasn't been there in the last. What, 10 years, 13 years, however long Reed was there? So I
14 years, something like that.
Yeah, I think the Giants could pull that one out.
Now, an interesting game is Seattle going to Indianapolis. Interesting because Indianapolis put a hurting on San Francisco.
They did, in San Francisco.
So now this is in Indy, and Seattle's on their second consecutive road game.
And they
just got out of Houston.
Oh, they pulled it out in overtime, which I was really, you know, I'm glad to see the game was close, because, you know.
But on a turnover like that, that was ugly. Shove's a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
They're naming what, burgers after him?
Yeah.
Meat or what is it?
Yeah, it's a burger. It's called the Pick Six, and you pick your you pick your six favorite toppings, and then at the bottom it says, and then you regret the decision later.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Yeah. Sure,
that's the home to people doing that to you, not on the road.
Yeah, and fans in the parking lot were burning his jersey, and they're calling for Kubiak's job as well, and all this ridiculous stuff.
Now they land in San Francisco.
Yeah.
What kind of irony is that?
Yeah.
So those two games are interesting.
They are, and you know, the same, you know, same conferences squaring off.
But looking at the spread, I thought it was interesting that New England is getting 1.5 in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I was shocked by that loss. I mean, I know that the win in Minnesota by Cleveland was a big deal, and I guess they really are rallying around the loss of Richardson that he was dealt.
Well, they all realize that it could be them.
Yeah, if you're going to trade away, you know, your number one draft pick, and if he's not safe, you're not safe. So play hard. I mean, that, you know, that's a really interesting message to send to a team.
Yeah, that's the foot in tushy motivation method.
Very true. But yeah, I was shocked by that loss. And Cincinnati did nothing in that game. Nothing.
Right. And now they're favored to beat the Patriots.
They're favored to beat the Patriots. I guess I'm going to assume that the loss of Vince Wilfork is playing very heavily on everyone's minds. Believe me.
He's a force. He's a force to be reckoned with, no doubt.
Yeah. Believe me, I am more than happy to see any Patriot suffer. But
all right. Well, you're a Jet fan.
Well, yeah, I am. Unabashedly and, you know, unfortunately.
Well, they're getting 10.5 in Atlanta. Now, Atlanta's some damaged goods there. They got the injuries, traded away offensive line, and they're not the same team they were last year.
No, I didn't expect they would be. You know, there's only so many times that you can be the number one seed in a league and maintain that. Because they had the number one seeding, I think, 3 years ago, and they lost to
San Francisco. Similar to that now.
Yeah, San Francisco's starting to take on that, but at least San Francisco has a Super Bowl appearance to, you know, to show.
Until the lights went out.
Until the lights went out. And conspiracy theories abound about that. But, you know.
Yeah, but he doesn't handle adversity well.
Who?
San Francisco coach.
Harbaugh, no. He's used to, or at least on the coaching end of it, he's used to a high level of success.
Yeah, I consider it more of a front runner.
Well, that can be true. Yeah, those are some good games. I'm also kind of interested in the Buffalo-Cleveland game.
Why? The Browns?
Yeah, they're both 2-2. I mean, a lot.
The Browns are the surprise team.
Yeah, well, they are these last 2 weeks, sure. Surprising in their front office decision of trading Richardson, and now they're 2 back-to-back wins, one on the road against the Vikings, but still, it's a big win after giving up Richardson. And just, you know, the way they looked, the way they were looked at after the draft.
Now, who's running the ball there?
Willis McGahee.
Right. Now, didn't he work out for the Giants recently when they signed Jacobs?
Yeah, he did.
Amazing. Somebody of that talent could still be out there.
Well, on the older end for a running back. And he's, I think, coming off an injury. It's just a game that kind of piqued my interest. I was kind of interested about it. Oh, and how about San Diego Chargers at Oakland Raiders starting at 11:35 Eastern Standard Time at night. Did you hear about this?
Is it a Sunday night game?
No. Here's what happened. The A's, because they made the playoffs, and are playing Game 2 in Oakland because they had the better record than Detroit.
Okay.
So that they're playing on Saturday. Now, according to the grounds crew at the O.co Coliseum, formerly known as the Oakland Alameda County Stadium, they say it requires 24 hours to turn the facility from baseball into football.
Okay.
Is what they say. Now, because of that, the Raiders game can't be played at its 4:25 start Eastern Standard Time because they need the 24 hours. So the NFL, in their infinite wisdom, have moved the game back to 11:35. It is not the Sunday night game because the Sunday night game is Houston at San Francisco. And which is, if you're an NBC network executive, which game do you want?
Houston.
Houston at San Francisco. The last, you know, two playoff teams from the previous year. And, you know.
I want to see how Schwab's going to react to that breakdown he had.
Yeah, and two strong defenses. Or would you want to see the Chargers, who are doing pretty well against the awful, awful Raiders? You know,
yeah, I think Chargers are a surprise team, too.
Hey, the Chargers are a surprise team, too, but, you know, America would much rather see an interesting game like Houston San Francisco than it would be a one-sided loss by the Raiders.
No, we won't have an option, right? We'll have to see only the one game, right?
Well, yes, we and the rest of the country at 8:35 will be watching Texans at 49ers. However, at 11:35, if you're living in the East Coast, you and if you happen to be awake or or insomnia.
On the West Coast or East Coast?
It's gonna be, well, it's 11:35 on the East Coast, so that's 8:30 over there.
Right.
So they're gonna be watching the game starting at 8:30, but us, you know, us in New York and Florida and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, all us, if we want to stay up that late, we're gonna watch. We can watch it on the NFL Network at 11:35.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but I mean, really, who's, are you gonna stay up that late for that game?
I'm not intentionally.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like, I don't even have that. Like, that's not an option for me. I can't. I'm lucky to get through the regular
right.
Sunday night game.
Yeah.
But
sometimes I wake up at 11:30 and my lazy boy.
Yeah, yes, you
know?
Do.
Right.
Yeah, whatever happens to be on. But I don't understand why they didn't also, because they haven't, the Chargers and Raiders, this is their first game. They play a home-and-home series because they're in the same division. Why not just switch when their game is? Just have it down in San Diego for this week and then move the other game to Oakland later on in the season.
Yeah, well, you know, they're the 800-pound gorilla. They can do a safe place.
No, you're absolutely right. So, which games are you interested from the spread perspective?
Well, I'm just looking at it. I'm liking it. I'm liking the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting points. I mean, what has Cincinnati proven this year?
That they can pick up fumbles from Aaron Rodgers and
true.
That's
true
about
that.
That's about it.
I'm also liking the Saints in Chicago.
That's a very interesting game.
Well, now we know the Saints are great at home. Let's see if they can do that on the road.
Right.
The other interesting game, of course, was Seattle and the Colts. I kind of want to take the Colts there.
You know what? I think I would take them, too, because last week aside, Seattle's...
3 points.
Yeah.
You get the Colts plus 3.
Yeah. Seattle's not that great on the road, and I think 2 back-to-back road games. And these are...
The Colts are growing as a team.
Yeah. And these are two games, you know, because I don't know if Seattle, if Pete Carroll kept them in the central time zone or they went back to Seattle after Sunday's game and now have to go all the way back out to Indianapolis.
Right.
So I don't know what that plan was, but I think two games on the road back-to-back, this one they'll lose, I think. So, I agree with you. I like the Colts there. So.
Yeah, that's – well, I'm liking the AFC against the NFC.
True.
Now, that's been working out pretty good.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah, so who knows? I mean, it's this league, so many games are less than 7 points.
Well, that's the parody of it.
Yeah, it's exciting. Everybody can root, think they have a chance.
Exactly, and that's all you want, because if you're not going to get it this year, you might have it next year.
Right. Okay, bud.
All right, cool. But as for my fantasy team, it's been a bit of a wreck. Last week, Aaron Rodgers was on a bye, and so I put in Andy Dalton, and he did nothing. Neither him nor... AJ Green did anything. I thought Bilal Powell would actually do pretty well. He got 10 points, which was okay, but DeSean Jackson did nothing. Mike Wallace did nothing. I was very disappointed. Hopefully now that Aaron Rodgers is back, I can get a little bit more consistency. I'd actually like to win this week. And it was especially embarrassing because last week, the person I was playing against, I don't think has checked their team since they drafted them. So it's kind of really difficult to take. But whatever. This week, pretty much the same as it usually been. Hopefully Eddie Lacy's head is on right, so I can start him. The San Francisco defense will have to go and post to the Minnesota defense. You can like us on Facebook. You can find us on iTunes. Type in Everyman Sports. You can come to our website, everymansports.podbean.com. And you can email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and goodbye.